Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow servants and ministers of our God, he was 80 years old, and he thought he had seen everything that could be seen, and he had no plans to change his life in any way. But then one day he saw something that he had never seen. He saw a bush on fire, but the fire was not consuming that bush. So he went to go see this strange sight, and out from the burning bush, the Lord called Moses to be the leader of his people. But do you remember how Moses reacted to the Lord at that moment? He said, "Lord, who am I to lead your people? Why would they even listen to me? I have no power. I'm not even that great of a speaker. Lord, send someone else." And do you remember how the Lord responded to Moses? He gave him power to perform miracles. He gave him the very words to say. He gave him his brother Aaron to speak on his behalf. The Lord gave Moses everything he needed for his ministry. And it's not just Moses that the Lord does this for. When Jeremiah thought he was too young, the Lord said, "I have made you for this very purpose." When Isaiah thought that he was too sinful to serve in the ministry, the Lord cleansed him from his sins. When Joshua was too worried to replace Moses as the next leader, the Lord said to him, "Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Whenever the Lord calls someone into his ministry, he gives them what they need. And so for all of us who have been called into his ministry, we have the comfort of knowing that God gives us what we need to carry out his ministry. We see that with Jesus and his disciples. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. Why does Jesus even send out the 12? Certainly Jesus would be more perfect and efficient at doing ministry. Well, right before this, the Lord told his disciples that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, he told his disciples to pray to the Lord to send workers out into the harvest. And they did. But they didn't realize that they were the answer to those prayers. Even though Jesus would be much more perfect and efficient at doing ministry, he was just one person. And so he sent out the 12 to reach out to more people. But why does Jesus send out the 12? Why doesn't he send out more people to reach out to others? Later on in Jesus' ministry, he would send 72 people out to do mission work. But here he sends out the 12 because he has chosen these men to be the leaders of his church after he ascended into heaven. Therefore, he sends them out to get practical experience on how to do ministry. But why does Jesus send them out two by two? Why doesn't he send them out one by one to reach out to more people? Well, we all know what it's like to work with someone else. Yes, sometimes it can be stressful, but many times it can be very beneficial. We can have someone there who is more experienced and wiser than we are to instruct us and to train us. We can have someone there who will encourage and lift us up when we are feeling down. Practically, it's just nice to work with someone because we share the load together. And so the Lord gave his disciples what they needed by giving them companionship so that they could work together. They could help each other and encourage one another. God gives us the same thing for our ministry. He gives us companionship. We do not do ministry alone. But I will confess to you that as a pastor, I can feel that way. Even though I have all of you who will assist me and help me, even though I have other Wells pastors in the area that I can talk to and learn from their experience, even though I have my own friends that will listen to me and lift me up when I'm feeling down, and ultimately I have God Himself, I can still feel alone doing ministry, that the weight of the world is on my shoulders. You can feel the same. Even though you have brothers and sisters in this church who pray for you and help you, you have called workers who are here to assist you, you have friends who will listen to you and lift you up, and ultimately, you have God with you. And yet you can feel alone in your own personal ministry. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us not feel that way. For God gives us what we need. We are not alone. He gives us companionship. We are here to work together, to help each other out, and to encourage one another. And ultimately, we have God Himself who has promised to us, I will not leave you as orphans. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He gives us what we need for our ministry, for He gives us companionship. But that is not the only thing that Jesus gave to His disciples that they needed for their ministry. He also gave them instructions to follow. These were His instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. Now let me ask you, do you find these instructions that Jesus gave to His disciples to be a little odd, strange, or possibly too rough? The disciples were not to take any bread which they could use to feed themselves. They were not to take any money which they could use to support themselves. They were not to take an extra tunic which they could use to keep themselves warm at night. They didn't even have a place prepared and ready for them. They had to rely on people welcoming them into their homes. And if they didn't, they were to shake off the dust of their feet as a testimony against them. Why would Jesus give them these instructions? He does it so that as they obey them, they are putting their trust in God. They are trusting that God will provide for them, and He did. People welcomed the disciples into their home. They fed them. They took care of them. They supported them. They gave them a place to stay. And as the disciples obeyed these commands, it not only showed their love and trust in God, but it showed their love for others, that they would do these things to reach out to them. Jesus gives us instructions to follow as well, instructions that we need for our ministry. By obeying these instructions, we not only show love for God, we also show our trust in God. When we are mocked for following God's instructions, we are trusting that God will defend us. When we suffer by following God's instructions, we are trusting that He will bless us and we are not turning to the sinful, ungodly things of this world. When we give our offerings back to God, we are trusting that God will give us what we need. And by obeying these instructions, it not only shows love for God and trust in Him, but it shows love for others, that we would do these things for their benefit and to reach out to them. So if obeying God's commands shows love for God, it shows trust for God, it shows care for others, then what does sin show? Sin shows complete disobedience to God. Sin shows a lack of trust in God. Sin does not result in showing love to our neighbor. It only results in showing love for ourselves. And you look at these instructions that God gave to pastors, and most of them apply to each and every one of us, we can see our disobedience. The instruction to be faithful to one's spouse and to respect the institution of marriage, we have grossly disobeyed. Maybe you haven't been faithful to your one spouse. Maybe you didn't wait to be married to receive those blessings that God reserves for a husband and a wife. Maybe we tell dirty jokes and we laugh at them when we should rather be ashamed of saying such a thing. We can all lust and have those impure thoughts. The instruction not to be a lover of money, we can selfishly disobey. Because we don't want to give our offerings to God, because we want to keep our money for ourselves, thinking that if we have enough money, then we will truly be content and happy, even though we know we are never content and happy enough with how much money we have. The instruction not to be given into drunkenness is something that we can blatantly disobey. Because in our culture, we can view drunkenness as almost a badge of honor. It's something that we can brag about. It's something that we can joke about. The instruction not to be violent and quarrelsome, but kind and gentle and welcoming, we can easily disobey. Because it's a lot easier to get revenge and to hate someone than to be kind and loving to our enemies. And so all these instructions that God has given to us that we need for ministry, to show our love for Him, to show our trust in Him and for care for others, we blatantly disobey. And if that's the case, should God give us His love, His blessings, His forgiveness and salvation? No. But He does, because of Christ. Without Christ, there would be no ministry. There would be no proclamation of the gospel of salvation. But there is a ministry. There is that proclamation of the gospel because Christ has won salvation for us. God gave Christ instructions to follow in His ministry. And His instructions were to obey all of God's commandments. And not just once, but perfectly throughout His life, and He did. Although Christ was never married, He respected and honored the union of marriage. He didn't joke about it. He instructed people about what they were to do in their marriages, and He never committed a single act of lust. Jesus was not a lover of money, for He barely had no money. He didn't even have a home to call His own. But He trusted that God would provide for Him. Jesus never gave into drunkenness, nor was He ever violent and quarrelsome with people. He was always kind and welcoming, even to His own enemies. Christ obeyed all of these instructions out of love for God and out of love for us. And the one last thing that Christ gave was His life on the cross to remove every act of disobedience, every act of selfishness, every act of not trusting in Him from us. Because of Him, God blesses us, He loves us, He forgives us, and He saves us. And when it comes to these instructions that Christ has given to us, He says this: "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And elsewhere in Scripture it says, "This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome." Therefore, with the comfort that Christ brings rest to our souls and that His commands are not burdensome, let us obey the instructions that He has given to us for our ministry. For it shows our love for God, it shows our trust in Him, and it shows love and care for others. But there's one more thing that Jesus gave to His disciples for their ministry. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Jesus gave his disciples power to do their ministry. And we look at the things that they did. Two of them probably stand out to us right away. The fact that they could drive out demons and heal people miraculously. Certainly these are amazing and powerful things, but I would dare to say that the more amazing and powerful thing is not driving out demons and miraculously healing people, but the fact that they were able to preach repentance to people and make them repent of their sins. Think of what true repentance is. True repentance is me recognizing that I have sinned and feeling remorse for what I have done. Not because I have been caught, but because I have sinned against God and caused him sorrow. True repentance is me turning to God, asking him to forgive me. It's not, Lord, I will do all these things for you to win back your favor. It's, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. True repentance is trusting and believing that I am forgiven, not because of who I am or what I have done or what I will do. I am forgiven because of Christ and Christ alone. True repentance is me turning away from that sin, not desiring to commit it anymore. And when I do, when we all do, for we are sinners of habit and choice, true repentance is going back to God each and every day to receive that forgiveness. True repentance is amazing and powerful, and God gives us that power in our ministry. He gives us that power through his powerful and effective word. He gives us his powerful and effective word, which is sharper than any double-edged sword, which penetrates and cuts to the heart to expose sin to people. He gives us this powerful and effective word that comforts people when they think they could not be forgiven of their sins. Therefore, since God has given us this great power to bring people to repentance, let us trust in that power that he has given to us to reach out to others. Therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice and find comfort that God gives us what we need for ministry. He gives us companionship. We do not do this alone. We work together. We help each other. We encourage one another. He gives us instructions to follow in our ministry, to show love for him, to put our trust in him, and to show kindness and care to others. He gives us power to preach his powerful word to bring people to repentance. Therefore, since God gives us what we need for our ministries, let us be his ministers in his ministry. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.